You're listening to episode 172 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about five running books to put on your reading list. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey runners, and welcome to episode 172. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And this is the third time we're re-recording this because I keep messing up the intro.
Yes, and I just had to sit here and laugh.
Yes. So we are Ryan and Letty. Like we said, we do a weekly marathon running podcast where we talk about all things running. We bring you coaches. We bring you nutrition experts. We bring you all sorts of things. And today we decided that it was time after 3 years to update our reading list. Neither Ryan and I are avid readers.
Speak for yourself. I avidly read my phone.
We do read a lot. I read a lot for work, and I do listen to a lot of audiobooks. Now, I'm not one of the people that say listening to audiobooks qualifies as reading, even though I still get the same content.
I mean, I think if it's the same content, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's like...
Wait, you're the one who gave me a hard time about saying that I read 50 books when I listened to them via audio.
Yeah, well, you can't claim a certain number of books read when all you're doing is listening to them. That's different. You're saying you gather the same information, and I agree that the same information can be gathered whether or not you listen to it through an audiobook or look at stuff online or read actual books. But you can't claim you've read a bunch of books when you just listen to audiobooks, because half the time you fall asleep too, I think.
Well, guess what? I'm still an avid reader because we have young children that we read books to.
And Dr. Seuss doesn't count.
They're books. So if I count all the children's books I read, I'm probably close to 1,000 a year.
Yertle the Turtle?
Yes. Anyway, so...
So what do you mean by updating your reading book list?
Well, I'm glad you asked. So I talked to Liz and Alan from Running Book Reviews. That's their Instagram handle. They do book reviews, and they are also currently training for a sub-3-hour marathon. So along with that, their current readings include these specific five books that I also found would be helpful for all listeners currently training for a marathon, because they include mental training books, nutrition books, marathon plan books, strength training books, and so on.
Plus, it's nice to always update the list a little bit. I mean, if someone has read the books that you had on there, you know, mix it up a bit.
Yes. So I will link all these books in the show notes. So that way you guys, if you're enticed to read them, you can purchase them. And I'll make it easy for you guys to find them.
When's the last time you talked about running books or running book reviews?
Oh, Ryan, I think that was 3 years ago in the early days of the podcast. So it's time for an update.
But you've had a lot of authors on your podcast too, right?
Yes, yes. So a full episode of running book reviews was a really long time ago. But then I also found some running books and contacted the authors to see if they would be available to come on. So we do frequently have authors on. A lot of the time it's running coaches too that write running books to help their athletes. So I always find that very helpful and interesting. And as you know, I love psychology and mental training books.
There's definitely a big psychological factor to running a marathon.
90% is mental.
Not if you haven't trained.
So anyway, are you ready to hop into my conversation with Alan and Liz?
Let's do it.
All right. So without any further ado, here is the conversation with Alan and Liz. All right. So I'm on here with Liz and Alan from Running Book Reviews. Can you please let me know who you are and how you started reviewing books?
Well, so there's two of us. I'm Liz, and I'm with my co-host, Alan. And so we're training partners. So that's, we know each other from training. We're both part of the same club. And we discovered that we both really like to read, in particular, books about running, because we really like to like learn more things that will help us with our running. And the pandemic hit. Alan retired from his from his corporate job. And so we decided to start this podcast.
Yeah, one of the advantages is that we're actually both similar speeds. We're not very similar ages, so we have different perspectives on things. But we're similar speeds, so we spend a lot of time running together. So, you know, you run out of subjects. So then it's, oh, I read a good book lately. And now it's, okay, so we're reading this book. Where are you up to? And yeah, it keeps the conversation going while the agony goes on in the training.
Yeah, it's kind of a competition at this point too. It's like Alan expects me to always be ahead, which means that like I have to make sure that I start the book before he does.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so how did you decide to start a podcast about books?
Yeah, well, it was basically we stumbled in our conversations on the fact that we're both book nerds. We're both into learning about the thing that we love, that we're passionate about doing. We're both into trying to learn a bit more about it and be inspired by other people. So we found we had actually a little running library in common. So we just said, because I was retired, I said, hey, how about we start a podcast? Because I thought that'd be a good retirement project. And that was 3 years ago. And we thought, oh, we're going to run out of running books to review. So Let's pace ourselves. We'll try for one every 2 weeks, about two a month. But we'll probably run out of books. Well, 3 years later, we've probably got more books in our reading pile than we've ever had. Some people seem to be able to write books quicker than we can read them. You know, we're talking about you, Matt Fitzgerald.
That's awesome. So yeah, so we brought you on because to be honest, I don't read as much as I should. And I feel like most of us don't read as much as we should. And it's not just the benefit of, you know, the training books. There's so many different books when it comes to running. As you guys learned, you opened a whole can of worms when you said you're going to run out of books. There's books on nutrition. There's books on mental training. There's always something new. And so for that reason, I wanted to have you guys talk about your five favorite books at the time. I know this is something that is not stagnant. It'll always change and evolve. But we want to bring five books to our listeners. And we're going to talk about the type of book they are. So training book or nutrition book, whatever they are. The title, author, credentials, synopsis, and then some other stuff like strength and weaknesses. So maybe we can hop right into the first book.
So I guess before we even start, I'll just mention that, you know, it's hard to pick favorites. Like we can't really say we have favorites because it really sort of depends on, I guess, where we're at in what we need. Like, so sometimes, you know, you need inspiration. So you might want to read a biography. Sometimes you just want, you know, some funny infographics, and there's actually books with that. Or sometimes, you know, you want a training book because you're getting ready for your next, phase of training. So this, what we did with the five books is we decided to pick like the five books we're kind of currently using because we're training for a sub 3 hour marathon, which is coming up in like 5 weeks, 4 weeks at this point, 5 weeks. Let's say it's 5 weeks. It's October 1st. So this list of five favorites, it's like not really a list of, it's a list of current, most used books.
Yeah. Yeah, we've kind of collaborated to come up with a list and things that are front and center for us now in our goal to run a sub 3 hour marathon. And just on, you know, your favorites, what I always say when people ask me that question is books are like my children. You can't have favorites. You love them all for different reasons.
I love that quote. And I love even more that you're both collectively running a sub 3 hour marathon. I think that's awesome. And I think the timing couldn't be any better because most runners are ramping up for fall marathons. We have Berlin and Chicago, and those are two big ones. So,
Yeah, just around the corner. So I guess it's kind of in a pyramid order. So the base of the pyramid, I thought Run Like a Pro, Even If You're Slow by Matt Fitzgerald and Ben Rosario, because we love the idea that the pros are just like the rest of us and that we can actually just apply some of the things that they're doing in their training to get fitter and race better. And the book talks about like a wide variety of topics. And after each kind of chapter, Ben Rosario, who's like the coach of the Hoka Nazlete team in the US, he gives like a kind of like a coach's tips kind of thing at the end of each section. So that's kind of a good.
Yeah, Matt's a fantastic. Matt Fitzgerald is a fantastic author, and he's kind of the pioneer of 80-20, which everybody's kind of heard of in terms of training methodology. And he, just before this, he wrote another book called Running the Dream, where he went and trained as a professional, and wrote about what it was like to train as a professional when you're just a mere mortal. And he decided with the coach that took him on at Nazalite, he would write a second book saying, well, how do you go about it then? Not everybody gets to live my experience. So let me talk you through what I've learned and what to do. So it makes for great reading. It's great storytelling as well as superb information. And a lot of variation in the training, which is kind of, if you're getting bored with training, or you're finding it routine, there's a lot of change-ups in the training and done by people who are training professional people.
So is this more of like an instructional book where they tell you how you should approach it, something that you follow along as you train, or is it more tips for running or techniques?
Yeah, I would say it reads very well. So it's not really like a follow along book, I would say. It's got sections and you can sort of dive into the sections as you need them, because, you know, they'll be like, they talk about pacing. Why is pacing important? And actually that elite runners are much better pacers than we are. So, you know, they talk about things like that, and they do go into like, well, how can you be a better pacer? And then in the coach's tips, there's, you know, sort of like workouts you can try and incorporate in order to become better at pacing. But I would say that there are training plans in the back, so you can use it as a training book as well. But that's not the book that we decided to follow in terms of the marathon training plan that we chose.
Okay.
Probably Perfect. That's a good segue, and we could move on to the book that contains the training plan that we actually followed.
Yeah,
let's do it. Is that a good idea, Liz?
Yep.
Which is Advanced Marathoning by Pete Fitzinger and Scott Douglas. We figured we'd done enough marathons to sort of merit opening a book that said advanced on the front of it, Advanced Marathoning. So we said, oh, you know, with nervousness, let's open this book and let's go for it. Because we're really, with a 3-hour marathon, we're reaching for the edge of our envelope. This is, we think, Liz and I both think that this is sort of on the edge of what we could achieve. So let's reach for the best that we can do, and let's look for the kind of most rigorous training program that we can be able to take on and swallow. Well, there's several mileage differences that you can take, different shorter mileage, medium. We're doing the medium mileage. Even the shorter mileage is quite a bit, so you can't come in as a beginner. And then there are different weeks of programs, depending on where you're starting from. If you're already fully trained, you can start with a shorter program, or you think you might get exhausted, you can start with a shorter program. And basically, it's tried and tested from people who are really, really good coaches and understand what their training is doing to you.
All right. So with this book, is that something that would be too late for other fall marathoners to pick up now? Is that a book that you should definitely read prior to starting a new training cycle? Or is that something
pick up? Yeah, now? I think it would be a new training cycle, because the shortest plan is 12 weeks. And because they're all quite high mileage, like I think you really can't do it for shorter than 12 weeks, I don't think, because I think the lowest mileage plans, there's a section under 55 miles, but then after that, it's 55 to 70 and then 70 to 88. Anyway, and then there's one even above that. So there's quite a bit of mileage, and the workouts are quite advanced, as we found out, because not only do you have our long run, you also have something that we never did before. It's a medium long run. So one other time during the week, you're running kind of long, but not as long as your long run. So it's like, it's quite time consuming. You really have to dedicate yourself to this one. And I think that, you know, if you try a training plan, doesn't matter which one it is, whether it's this advanced one or whether it's the Hansen plan or whatever plan, I think that sometimes if you fail the first time, it's not because you're going to continue failing. I think that, you know, you're not the same person the second year you try it and the third year you try it, and you are fitter because you had that experience in the past. I think that's what we found.
And I think part of the trick is also go into your training program with the idea that, you know, you're going to have fun doing the training and learn during the training and develop during the training. We talk about, you know, failing our workouts and things like that, but actually we don't mentally, we try not to use a concept of failure. We always talk about, well, you get two things. You have joy in the training program, and on marathon day, you get one of two things. You get success or you get learning.
I like that a lot. That should be applied to anything in life, really.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag. There's something for every runner.
So that's cool. So that's book number two, Advanced Marathon Training. So we got that book. So what is you guys' next book? What's book number three for you guys?
So number three is also part of the fundamentals. If you're going to do a really hard marathon training program, you need to make sure that you have good nutrition. And so we chose High Performance Nutrition for Masters Athletes by Lauren Antonucci. And Lauren defines a master's is an athlete over the age of 35. So, I mean, you're pretty young when you are considered a master. And the thing with this book, so she's a registered dietitian, and she works with athletes. So the book is full of really good information, and it's a wide range of information, but she goes through all the macronutrients and why they're important for your training. So like, why are carbohydrates important? Why is getting enough important? Why is protein important for masters athletes? And also she kind of touches on each of the I'm going to say fad diets, because, you know, it's these diets that come in and out of popularity. For example, like the ketogenic diet and, you know, all these different diets. And she kind of says, like, she goes into the research and what it does or doesn't show. And in most of these cases, the thing is, the research is not done on athletes. Athletes really do need all of the macronutrients. Like, we need good fats as much as we need protein. And we definitely need, because we're endurance athletes, lots and lots and lots of carbohydrate, because that's what we're burning. And she even goes into the breakdown of how much we actually burn, because I think that in the running space, we're under the impression that we, you know, like when you're running at a slow pace, you're just burning fat. When you're running fast, you're just burning carbohydrates or something like that. But it's actually a mix in every range. And even when you're running slow, let's say you're an ultra marathoner or you're just jogging, you're still burning, half of your energy comes from carbohydrates, which is like surprising, right? That's not kind of the impression we get when we listen to people that have switched over to like high fat diets, because it helps, because they think it's going to help them burn fat. So we really enjoyed this book. It really opened our eyes.
I think Liz is a nutrition nerd, so you can tell by the way she talks, she's right into this. And I was sort of like, what is this nutrition thing? I'm sort of a bit more generalist. I think my nutrition approach that I tell people is eat all the food. You've got a fuel, so eat all the stuff in front of you. And if you want some more, eat some more. So, but you know, I've gradually become less of a caveman regarding that sort of stuff, and more nerdy like Liz. And one of the things I learned really well from this book was protein intake. If you're training really hard and you've got a hard program, you need to recover well, and you're going to need some protein to help you recover well. And if you're a master's, particularly if you're an older master's, I'm almost a double master's, so you also are not absorbing your protein as well in your older years. So if you're training hard and you're older, you're going to need extra protein. And in fact, one of the things I changed in my habits was I started bringing a protein shake to every workout and drinking it after each workout. And Liz was quite proud of me. Mm. She saw me changing my habits and developing better habits for my nutrition. And I think that's the way to go as well. Make small changes and make them stick. Don't make big changes. One of the things Lauren taught us was, in fact, a lot of the fad things are not that well researched with respect to athletes. You know, you get a generally accepted truth that I don't know, beetroot is good for you because it does certain things. But in fact, when you look at the studies are usually like not that extensive. The one thing I learned was caffeine works. Caffeine's legal and caffeine works, and there are heaps and heaps of studies that prove that it works, and it's categorically correct now. But a lot of the other things, they kind of may work sometimes in certain situations with certain populations, and it's much more equivocal. The other thing with Lauren's book was there are lots and lots of examples of really good athletes. So there are case studies about, you know, getting Ryan Hall, sticking a mic in his face and saying, okay, what's your nutrition tips, or what problems did you have? So you can see all the sorts of difficulties and challenges that people have had.
I like it, especially the examples of other athletes. And I absolutely love that you were bringing up the fad diets, because my husband and I have that conversation all the time about, this is a fad diet. How much does it really work? How many of these studies are actually done on athletes versus general population? So that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Really good book.
Yes. So we'll put that on the list. And then let's move on to book number four.
So book number four, we picked a mental training book. So Mental Training for Ultra Running by Adi Bracey. So this book, I mean, the title says ultra running, but really, like, mental training is good for anybody running any distance, because she talks about a lot of important things, like, you know, how to improve your consistency, because you know your why in running, like why are you doing this? And your why could be anything. It could be I think a lot of people that start running in adulthood, their why is like, I want to lose weight. But eventually, if you're going to stick with running, you need something else. And it could be, your why could be, I don't know, because you want to be healthy for your kids to see what they become later on, or I don't know. It needs to be something personal to you, and it can be anything. It's actually a really tough question, I found out. The thing that Adi does really well in her book is she has exercises in every chapter. So you read all the theory, and then you could do the exercises to sort of like see what that means for you. And she teaches you about like tolerating discomfort, so tricks about that. And she's actually, you know, researched in this space for a long time. And she's an ultra runner herself, so she's done a lot of really hard things. So, you know, she's definitely a good person to be writing about that topic.
Yeah, Adi's a fantastic resource in terms of just breaking down things that maybe you don't think about when you're running, because you're concentrating on your training, and maybe you don't practice. And in fact, this area, I think, is one where increasingly people are starting to get into it now and say, look, we've tended to take this for granted. people say, oh, I'm not a real runner, or I'm not confident with respect to running. Well, actually, you can change that if you want. There are ways, there are techniques for doing that. One thing that comes across straight away is self-talk. Did you know that in 2017, there was a research, I think it was Holmquist, did some research that came out with the fact that 77% of our thoughts about ourselves are negative.
Oh, wow. That's a lot.
And really, the small solution is, if you're saying something inside your head, would you say that to your best friend about them? Like, if they had a bad workout, would you say, well, you suck, you're pretty hopeless? Well, of course you wouldn't. You'd say, you know, you'd build them up, but you tend to do that mentally to yourself. Oh, mm-hmm. I'm a failure. Like, I can't do it like the other people. That goes on in your head, and you can actually address that. You can start to, through exercises, change the way that you do that, and it can have a very significant difference on how you might perform. Particularly when the going gets tough, or when you have a bad workout, or those kinds of things. So what we sort of concluded was, in fact, we do lots and lots of workouts physically, but we don't do many workouts mentally.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah, and I love that you guys have, you know, not just the training books and nutrition books, but you're kind of coming full circle with these books, and you include mental training, especially the fact is you guys are training for a sub-3-hour marathon. That is crazy fast for really anyone. But then you're right. We're doing all this stuff to train our bodies, but what about our minds? And there's so many tricks you can do. I read somewhere that, you know, when you talk to yourself, you're supposed to say you for exactly that reason instead mm-hmm. of yeah. I, because you're going to be kinder to anyone else. So I love this. And I put that on my list. Definitely can't wait to get that book.
Okay. Number five. So for number five, we picked a strength training book because obviously all of us runners should be doing strength training. So for a strength training book that we've been following the plans from, I guess for the first kind of half of the training was Jay Desharry's Running Rewired. But you know, I know like a lot of these books have strength training in them as well. I think a lot of training books now include that. So, you know, they'll have some kind of a routine. And so I think that Jay Desharry, so his strength is that he actually does work with runners in real life. And it's really a strength training book geared towards runners with exercises that will help runners. And the only thing that I would say with this book is that some of the plans, the amount of time you need to dedicate to strength training can be like significant. So, you know, you're supposed to do like 2 to 3 workouts a week, but the workouts, like some of them take an hour. So you know, you have to really be dedicated. I like, as much as this is on our top five, like I just want to also mention that, you know, any strength training is better than no strength training. And so yeah. Sometimes, you know, if Jay Desharry's book says do 3 rounds of like these exercises, if you do 1 round, like it's okay, because it's something as opposed to nothing. But we chose Jay Desharry because he's got good plans for, he has kind of core things, and then he has the actual strength training, which you can progress through, because you have the for strength, and then you can also have some, like he incorporates plyometrics.
Yeah, and they're not general training programs. They're specifically orientated towards runners. So they're designed to strengthen what runners need. The great thing about Jay Desharry's book is that he explains everything beforehand. So mm-hmm. you get a whole series of discussions beforehand saying, look at your knee and look how it aligns with your toes. If it's off to the right, then you need to do these kind of exercises. If it's off to the left, then you need to do these other kind of exercises. So you're going through like a little self-diagnosis. And I learned all sorts of things about my body, like my right ankle doesn't flex as much as my left ankle, and that's why I have problems doing squats. And my right knee doesn't align well with my hip, and that's why I have problems with soreness in my right knee when I do lots and lots of running, because my hip doesn't relieve stress. And suddenly you understand your body better. So you go, okay, if I have that, what exercises should I do to improve? And then suddenly you're targeting, you know, you're sort of self-coaching yourself in your strength training, which is fantastic. If you can spend the time and effort to do that. Something that we do from a strength point of view is if we don't have time and we just want to, we can't get to the gym and we just want to do a workout, we have a dumbbell workout that an author and athlete called Neely Spence Gracie taught us to do in her book, Breakthrough Women's Running.
That book has a whole bunch of other things for women, and also for men. I mean, a lot of it is about, working towards breakthroughs, but, because it's called Breakthrough Women's Running, she goes into, you know, pregnancy, female hormones, how that affects training and those kinds of things. But she has a dumbbell routine that's, it doesn't take long. You could do 1 to 3 sets, but it's really, even when we do 3 sets, I think it takes us maybe half an hour.
Yeah, it takes me and your husband slightly longer than half an hour because we talk in between a lot.
That's awesome. So that's going to be our bonus book that we're going to add to the list. Thank you very much for that. And good luck to you guys on your upcoming marathon. I hope everything goes well. And which marathon are you guys running?
We're going to do the Petit Train du Nord marathon. It's a very small, like, local race. So, you know, we thought that we would take that approach because we get to sleep in our own beds and have our breakfast that we're used to having. So I think, like, we're trying to improve something every marathon training cycle, because we've been trying to get this sub-3-hour marathon for a while now. And we think that could give us the edge we need, or at least it'll give me the edge I need, because Alan's already done the 3 hours.
Wow. And how close are you to that goal?
3:04.5. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, to me, that's the same as a 3 hour, if that makes you feel any better.
Yeah. Something about seeing that too, you know, I keep trying because I just want to see that too at the beginning.
That's awesome. I know you can do it. You are equipped with the right books. Thank you guys so much. And please let our listeners know how they can find you guys on social media and as well as in the COD podcasting world.
Yeah, well, you can find us on Running Book Reviews. Basically, our podcast is called Running Book Reviews with Alan and Liz. And I think our handles on Facebook and Instagram are Running Book Reviews. And our handle on Twitter is reviews_running.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. Happy running.
Thank you guys for speaking with me. Thank you so much for updating our reading list. As I said, we're linking all the books in our show notes and also on our website. Our website is www.marathonrunningpodcast.com. And if you go to blogs, I will try to post a blog that also lists all these running books for you guys.
I think that was a good idea to update the books. Maybe we should do that more consistently.
Definitely, especially around Christmas time when we are all trying to find something for our favorite runners. So
what are we doing next week?
So next week we are going to talk to Carlos the Runner. If you have not followed him on Instagram, do yourself a favor and follow him because he's super hilarious. He posts running memes and super funny content. So we talk about him and his memes a little bit, but Carlos the Runner is also a shoe expert. And you know, I've been looking for somebody to talk to about shoes for the last 2 years. So I hit the jackpot with that conversation.
Ooh, I'm interested.
All right.
So without further ado,
we are now going to go on with our weekend.
And with that,
have a great week of running. Thanks for tuning in. For more information, head to www.runningpodcast.us. And as always, have a great week of running.